See the stars in the sky, how they light up the night, and I'm wishing they could all stay. Cause the prize in my mind, I'm the fire in my sight, looking less and less far away. Cause though my hopes climbing up like a ladder to the top, yeah, I'm staying in the safe haven. Cause if I lose all control, let it go, take a hold, might be gold for the occasion. But I'm not waiting for dreams to come true, just take all the chances in front of you. Not waiting for answers to appear, cause I could stay here or go higher. No, we ain't staying in the safe haven. No, oh, oh, oh. You know I'm born of something new, born of smut. No, I could keep it down, living on the down low. The world is out there waiting. I'm seeing you once, a frown, flip it right round. Sometimes gotta change it, rearrange your game. Cause there's gonna be other ones that'll bring you down, will tear you up. Lost my mom, but I can't give up.
Cross my heart.
I could be in a job, brand new boat. You and I could be in there too. So top of the class that everyone knew, playing the song for the world. If music's what you love, come join us too. Stepping out the safe haven, never something song. But I'm not waiting for dreams to come true. Just take all the chances in front of you. Not waiting for answers to appear. Cause I could stay here or go higher. We are staying in the safe haven. Oh, oh, oh. You know I'm born in something new, born in something new. Just take a run to some new places. You know I'm born in something new, born in something new.
Welcome to Faith Matters. It's good to be here. Good to have you tune in on our session today. That was Safe Haven by Albert Street. Some of our local young guys there, and I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more from them over the summer months and on here as well. But in the studio today, I have a couple of people in, and they are way over in Ireland, in Killarney. I can't say it. It's Irish, you know. Okay, we'll just leave it there. But we're going to have Denise on the show in a moment. I'm going to play another track, and we've got another visiting person in the studio with Denise, and her name's Renee, and we're going to hear from these two when we come back, so stay tuned.
This is life.
You might have guessed it's not a test. Hey, Denise, I have you. I'm just going to bring Denise up, put her on air. Well, you are on air, Denise. Welcome.
Hello.
Oh, didn't
guess
hear.
What? You said I had to bring a party the next time that it came on air, and today I had Renee, who's on a tour with me here in Ireland. We're in Killarney, and Renee is joining us today as well.
Yeah, now I thought Renee was Irish. She's got red hair. Isn't that just an assumption on my part? Because she's not. So hello, welcome Renee. You're not Irish and you are in Ireland.
No. So hello, tell me, everybody. It's Renee here.
Where are you from, Renee?
I am from Southern Africa.
Yeah, and you've met our Denise on your journey.
Yes, I am.
What time is it? Like, these two girls are waking up. Like, we're wide awake. Oh, this is my third coffee, black coffee, by the way. Well, I know, it is Friday.
It's 1:16 in the morning here, but actually I went to sleep for an hour and Renee hasn't because she knew she was going to come on here, so she stayed awake.
Well,
so for her
done.
It's still today, but I've had a sleep, so it's today.
Yeah, so this happened last time that we chatted too, and poor Denise, she looked really tired when she came on, and by the time we'd finished the show, she was wide awake. I'm not sure she was ready to go back to bed after that. It's pretty hard on you. I'm sorry, girl, but it's so good to have you in here. Yeah,
it's great.
Is it halfway across the world? I don't even know. I'm really bad on that stuff. Yeah,
wherever you are. Well. On the other side.
Yep. On the other side, where all the four-leaf clovers are.
Yeah, that's
right. In Ireland. So tell me, where are we at, Denise?
So we are now on a Celtic Christianity tour. Mm. And so we are with a bunch of people from all around the world going to some significant sites from way back when. So yesterday/today. We went up to Skellig Michael, which is an island off the southwestern coast of Ireland. And it's actually the island, if you've seen the newer Star Wars movies, it's the island where Luke Skywalker, when they find him, when they lose like Luke Skywalker in the whole galaxy, they find him on top of this beautiful island. That's where we were this morning with the beehives up there, because those beehives were actually a monastery.
Wow.
So... yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So that's where we went this morning, and we were up there and went into one of the beehives and were praying as a group and had just an amazing time up there.
So tell me about the beehives. So they're in the movie, aren't they? They look like.
Yep.
So you can go in them. What do they look like inside?
Stone floors.
Yeah.
Stone walls.
Right. No furniture.
No, so the monks were living in there. They did, that was sort of the area that they were up the top, and they had some areas where they collected rainwater because there's a little bit of greenery there, but the majority of it's just rock. And so, yeah, they had no access to fresh water. There's no stream or anything like that, so they had to collect the rainwater, which is quite easy to do in Ireland.
Yeah,
because there's got a lot of rain.
So tell me, you know, you're saying it was a place where the monks met. I didn't know that. Did you find it a different feeling in there?
Yeah, you can talk.
Oh, yes, she's meaning Renee.
Yes. Yes, the atmosphere there is loaded with a lot of the atmosphere of that time, when the monks would go there for solitude and they would want to stay, seek the heart of God the Father, and they want to get closer to him, and they felt that the more that they are separated from the hustle and bustle of life, they would then be able to get closer and closer, and also to mortify the flesh and just get more into the prayer life and seeking a better relationship.
Wow. So would they do that like daily, or was that would they go out there weeks on end?
They lived there.
They lived there. There's yeah. no furniture so in there, Denise.
If there was furniture, it would have been made of stone.
Oh, no. Does it have to be that uncomfortable?
Well, it was really interesting. One thing that they were talking about yesterday, or actually the day before, oh, it's so hard to keep track of the days. They were talking about the monastery being made up of two words. So mono being, obviously, you think of like a radio, you think of or speakers, mono being one speaker, and then stereo. So monastery, mono, stereo. And so they talked about the cycle of kind of removing themselves from other people. So there's some of the people that we'll be going around, like there was one place we went the day before, which was to do with St. Kevin, and he went by himself for 7 years. He was a hermit for 7 years. But then people started to gather around him, and there's actually a monastery city sort of where he was. So they talked about the coming apart that the monks would do, but then there was the stereo that happened as monasteries came, so that they'd withdraw to their own space and pray, and then they'd come back together and pray. And so it was this rhythm of spending time alone with God and relationship coming together in relationship. So, yeah, it was really interesting. I'd never heard that before.
Did you say that people seeked him out, like sought him out?
Because he had real wisdom after he'd been spending time in God's presence just himself. And so people started to seek him out for that wisdom, apparently. Yeah.
Well, and then go, Renee. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things that they had that you could identify them by was they had these round towers, and each monastery would have a connection to the next monastery, and you would know that you were getting close to that monastery by the view of that tower. It was a huge, long, white, you know, round tower. And it's interesting that they had eight of more of these that interconnected to each other until it connected also to Mount Carmel in Israel, and that they also had that joining together like that. And people have been known to visit all those sites of the monasteries until they then said, okay, the ultimate for them to go and look at is Skellig Michael.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the melding of two things. So the different monasteries had tall towers so that you could find them if you're walking between them. But that line is actually, if you go to Skellig Michael, which is that southwest corner of Ireland, and draw a line from there down to Mount Carmel in Israel, you actually go through, there's another something monastery to do with Michael, it's Michael the Archangel, I assume, St. Michael, in the south of England. And there's the famous St. Michael Island thingy in just off France, Normandy in France. And then there's, I think two in Italy and three through Greece that all fall into this exact line. So there's all these, in this line, there's all these St. Michael monasteries that point, yeah, all the way down to Mount Carmel in Israel. So there are people who will go from one to the next to the next. And actually, he said there's nine of them altogether.
So, and I bet you that's significant too.
Yeah.
Okay. So they all line up. Is that what you said?
Yeah, all the St. Michael ones actually line up.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think that there's this line going right back to Israel? And not that you have the answer.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Well, you could, but what you could look at is that the Skellig and the Michael, they dedicated the island to the Archangel Michael. So it's a connection then always in that factor to all the others. But there's also everything that is the Skellig is the rock part. And then it's also because the people were starting to mix up between the religion of the day that they also started building monasteries like that and wanted to keep them connected that way as well. So just that then they brought in the religious factor and right. more brought in the modern time of church going, if I can call it like that, versus the solitariness of Skellig Michael originally. Mm. And Mount Carmel was also a place for Elijah, for example, to be in solitude. So it's that contradiction also, bringing in modern times to solitudeness, if I can put it like that.
Mm. Yeah. And so actually this morning, I'll call it today, this morning when we're up on Skellig Michael, there are the beehives. So that was the ancient ones. And then there's one rectangle part, and that was brought in after Augustine, he sort of started an order of monks. So once Augustine started to spread, they were discouraging people from having their solitude, and they were wanting to bring like these isolated communities. They didn't really want people to be in the isolated communities. They wanted them to be together because they wanted to, you know, it was more the religion aspect coming in, perhaps wanting to actually have a bit more sway over what the monks were doing and what they were involved in. So, yeah.
It's interesting, eh, that solitude brings that closeness to God. You know, they, back in those times, still relevant today, to take ourselves away from all the noise and bustle of life. And it's a it's a hard thing to do, I think, for us, Denise, to have quiet in our lives now. We're not used to it. There's yeah. always something interrupting our solitude. I'm a person who loves solitude. I love the quiet. I love listening to birds. I listen to the crickets. You know, but it's taken me a few years in my life to get to that place. There was a time in my life when I tried to fill every moment with noise, with activity, with distraction. You know. And I've never questioned that at the time to be a distraction. I thought I was living life. You know, and being full on in life, being busy, being, you know, active and busy and out there and doing it and partying or whatever it is I wanted to do, I could not stand those quiet times. Now, oh my gosh, I love my quiet times. Yeah, I do. Mm. I crave it, I must admit. And it's brought, a whole new way of being for me. Because I learnt something about myself where we try and fill in the void. But the void is often where we learn a lot about ourselves and other things. You had something to say, Renee?
Yes. I know that there was a stage in my life that if, when somebody asked me what I was thinking, and I would give them about 10 things that I'll be thinking all at once. And then they'll say, okay, I'm not going to ask you again what you're thinking.
And then, no then filter, I, no I, filter.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we can be like that, these open books, you know, you want to know what I'm thinking and it all comes out because we haven't, you know, there is no time where we've put aside to even put a filter on our thoughts, this free-flowing. Interesting.
But I found I needed help with that because it didn't help in my getting my peace that I must have. And like you say, you want to get into silence, but you first have to get into silence in yourself. It's not necessary, you know. So for me, I then had to, I prayed about it and I said, please help me with that. And then he silenced me. Now it's not that busy anymore. I prefer to focus on one thing at a time. Yes, we are trained to to take in our environment with our vision, and you can be aware while you're talking and that the cat is busy chasing the mouse and that type of thing. But I'm now more inclined to zoom in and cut out what is around me by training up and also getting help from God to help me with that. And he silenced my thought. He said, ask me to help you. Then he silenced my thoughts that they would be more in quietness. It's that in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. So the confidence is that it's not always your strength that can do things. You do need God for that. And it will,
Yeah, I'm loving that because, like I said, we live in times where peace or quiet is not happening around us and we don't notice it. We think everything's quiet, but you know, there'll be a lot of activity in the background, building noises, cars, just things, yeah, filling that space. Yeah. And true quietness, I'm not sure we even know what that is.
Yeah, well, yeah, if many people who do know people in South Africa would know that in the past year, there has been a lot spoken about load shedding. Load shedding meaning that there are large times of not having any electricity and that you would then have to make do without electricity. You can't charge your mobile phones. You can't. Electricity does a lot of things, right? Yes. So if we had to be on Zooms, you really had to make a plan, and then what we do is we climb in the vehicles and then go to another district that does have power to then have like a Zoom like now, and then they would then drive to you if they don't have power. But then we reached a stage where the whole country was at the same time without power, and that became a challenge. But what was remarkable was the white noise, this absolute quiet suddenly that you got when there was no electricity, because there's even that white noise in a plug being plugged in, and that is loud. And the silence was almost loud.
Yes, I get it. They say to hear real silence, if we can hear silence, can we hear silence? We need to go out to space. Imagine we're out in space. That's something that I was told many years ago, to try and imagine silence, to be floating out there where there's just nothing. And I found that a good place for me to start because I think my mind was such a busy place. I couldn't even imagine what it was like to be quiet. And what I thought was quiet wasn't quiet because, like you say, the white noise was there. White noise comes from electricity. We've got it all around us and we can't see it. We don't know how we are absorbing it, but we are, and there is a noise factor there. So to have no noise, wow. Go, yeah.
There is a difference between, like I'm just thinking of all the people who move out to the coast, out to Raglan, and love walking on the beach or, you know, those getting close to nature and actually like how calming it is to hear the waves coming in and out, for example. Sometimes that white noise can be really soothing and helpful, and then there's the other types of background noise that is just
distress.
Get you. Yeah. The stress levels up.
Well, they have things like, a lot of people don't know about this now, but white noise, pink noise, I think there's green noise. There's different colours to noise, and people have used them to calm babies. When babies, I think it's they'll use pink noise. Have you ever looked that up on Google it? Google everything. Just ask that great Google. Google knows everything. Look up white noise, and there's pink noise, and yeah, and so some of
Pink Floyd.
It's definitely in there. But I think with the, I can't bring up to my mind what the different noises are, but I think like the pink noise can be like a hushing sound, like a shh, right, continuously going. But for some people that's really relaxing, and for babies or they have the noise of a like being in a shuttle going out to space. Weird. I know.
Really?
Yeah.
It's meant to be relaxing?
Yeah. Yeah, you need to listen to some of these noise groups because they hit different frequencies in us and it can help us relax, interestingly enough, because I'm not sure there is never any sounds around us. It's that, but it's our internal noise too, I think, that we have to help train ourselves to calm the internal voices, the internal dialogue. So we might go into a song, I think, and come back and chat a bit more about that, and let's have a look at all of this. Here we go.
I know there's gonna be some brighter days. I swear that love will find you in your pain. I feel it in me like the beating of life in my veins. I know there's gonna be some brighter days. I know there's gonna be some brighter days. Oh, ashes fall from burning dreams. Oh, never live through times like these. You're trying hard to breathe in the dark, I know there's gonna be some brighter days,
yes, sir.
I swear that love will find you in your pain, I feel it in me like the beating of life in my veins, I know there's gonna be some brighter.
I'm sure there will be too. You're listening to Marie on Faith Matters 98.1 FM Raglan Community Radio. And I have Denise and Renee on Zoom today, all the way from Ireland, Killarney Road. We got that. And we've been talking about, well, really about internal noises and quiet. How do we find it? How do we find our peace in this world, which is full of noise and noise we can't see often? So I'm going to get Denise back on the air. We finished with pretty much talking about internal dialogues and the noises that we hear within ourselves. So I think we'll carry on there, Denise. I've got you on.
Yeah.
There she is. She's wake. I can see you guys are waking up now. Yeah, they look alive now. Where are you going to go after this? Let's get on subject. I'll take you
to sleep.
Wish I was there. You wouldn't be going to sleep. That's it. Surely we could kick our heels up somewhere in Ireland at this time in the morning.
You can come and join the party.
Amen. Go. Okay, so internal noise is kind of where we, you know.
All right, well, your turn to tell a story. You tell a story.
Well, I tell stories. Yeah, my life's one big story. Well, this is one, I guess, internal noise. I don't think we know how noisy it is until we try and tune into it. I think that's where I first found how noisy my internal dialogue was. It's when I started to actually engage with it and listen to it instead of just being a part of this noisy world around me and everything that was going on. And it's quite a journey. I don't think it just happened to find peace, because everything in me kind of resisted it. It's like, well, that's boring. That would be the first comment. Well, this is boring. What do we do now? Yeah, I mean, even that, I'm talking to myself, like, shush. You know, it's really hard. It's really hard to not have an internal dialogue with yourself. I guess finding my peace was when I started to tune into my faith, and then I kind of found an anchor outside of myself and within myself that was a different place from where I was standing in myself, if that makes any sense. You know what I mean? Like, I found God's, there was a piece that, I can't explain. It's really quite tangible. I can even feel it now. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tangible feeling. And I didn't have that feeling before I knew God and my faith and that connection that I had there, where I could tune in to Him, Holy Spirit. And I found something that I couldn't just make happen on my own. There we go. I've led you in somewhere. Let's go from there. What do you think of that, Renee?
Go from that.
but you see, many people look at Christianity and faith, and they look at the other religions and what they do and their meditations. And then they say, okay, you also meditate in your religion, so we'll also meditate. But that meditation takes them into a silence that actually empties their minds and opens them up to something else that can come in. It's a matter of that you've got to go the right way. I know of somebody who, when their spouse left them, they then would come home from their work during the day. It's nighttime now, they're coming home. They would sit in their car and not go into the house because the noise factor of when the family was family is not there, and it was screaming at them. Screaming at them. Now the opposite was happening, where now that silence is now traumatizing them. And they sat hours in the car versus going into the house now, because, and it took them, I think they said, it almost 2 years before they could overcome that.
We sometimes
get so used to the noise instead of each other.
That's so good, Renee.
We forget the radio must be on, or the television must be on, or the monitors must be on, but we forget each other in the process, and faith without family is also empty. Mm. So we need to also have appreciation for one another, and that we can silence our noise also with one another, because the one person can help the other one to, you know, It's going to be okay. You know, what's the first
have you said that to Denise before? Because I can see her reacting. No, you've shushed her, haven't you?
but you know what happens when a person's been traumatized and they come to you like a mommy holding a child. The first thing the mommy would say, all right, baby, all
comfort.
Right. It's all right, it's all right. Why do they always say, why keep quiet, you know? It's that... the noise of wailing and all that because of my trauma, And then let's hush it, okay, because you can't hear any comfort. You can't hear anything good. You can't see any solution when there's noise.
Yes, that's so true.
And then that's the basic of when we grew up started off with a shh.
Yeah, and the rocking, and which is a movement. You see? But yes, I get that. And I think that noise that you're making, the shh, is part of white noise, if you look it up. I think that's part of it. And it'll be that beginning mothering movement and sounds we make that bring comfort. Interesting, isn't it?
And we'll find that many people who want the noise around them is because they were not nurtured. They were not nurtured, and then therefore they need that noise to bring that shh
comfort
to them. Because the minute, because I've been in people's houses and that radio is not switched on, they're disoriented.
Yes.
And it's like they get that noise on, but if you had that shh noise coming from a nurturing point of view, you don't need that radio.
Yeah, I agree.
So so many people must go and investigate their nurturing wounds and have those healed.
Oh.
And then they won't have need.
Hard work, Renee. I'm like, I've been there. It's such a journey. I encourage people to do it. Look, I'm through that journey now. And now that I can look back on it, I can see the journey of that. If I could have seen, sometimes it's better not to see the bigger picture, completely. We need to start with the small picture because the bigger picture can be overwhelming for us. If I'd known that journey that I was, you know, going to be on into coming into wholeness, you know, I might have gone, oh, I don't think so. And go on another direction.
But it's
completely
worth it.
But oh my gosh, it's so worth it. And I so agree with you. And it's a good thing for us to notice, just to notice. When we don't have to go making major changes that cause a great disruption to our nervous system because we've suddenly changed the way that we find comfort. But it is good to notice, I think, how much noise do I need around me? You know, or notice the noise, notice the sounds that we congregate towards. You know, some people, you know, can't go past a pub and they hear all the great sounds coming out and they're just attracted and they've got to go in because the expectation of what those sounds are going to create for them. You know, we might go past a church and there's no sound. Some of us might rush in there because we're like, yes, I can find a pew with no people and just be. Others will just pass it by and never recognize the quietness of a place. You know, what fires it? It's good to notice. I totally agree because it lets us know how busy our minds are too. And in this day and age, we really do need to find peace. You know, I'm interested, and I'm gonna head out with this. We're gonna go into a song, but I'm gonna come back into this, and you girls are gonna answer this one. Jesus went into the garden to pray, and you know, I think this is quite a relevant one for us and what we're talking about. He took himself away from everybody in a time that was extremely, extremely stressful for him because this is, of course, at a time when Jesus was going to the crucifixion the day before, the night before, and he took himself away into the Garden of Gethsemane, I can't say it right, to pray.
Yes.
to pray. And I kind of wanted to pick up that a bit and get you two to unpack that and maybe have a look at what that quietness meant for him. So I'm going to let you ponder on that and we're going to go into a song and we'll be back.
I locked the front door, turned in the keys. No need to hang on to what I no longer need. That old house is empty, it's a thing of the past. I don't need a rearview mirror, cause I ain't never looking back. No, I don't need a rearview mirror, cause I'm not ever looking back. I'm packing my bags, moving on to Hope Road. No stopping me now, cause I've already sold. He's taking my life to a whole new
You can bust through those windows. Go ahead and tear down that door. All the chaos that lives here ain't my chaos no more. God, imagine that's paid for by the blood of my Savior. You can post it on the front door. I can see it in my mind.
Listening to Marie on Faith Matters, and I'm just going to bring these awesome women up from Ireland, and we are talking about finding peace or quiet in this day and age, which is just about impossible. Yeah, and we were talking about internal peace and the internal chaos that we can have, and I ended up heading out with, you know, the story about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, that was before the crucifixion, and he took himself away to pray, to be on his own. But he wasn't on his own, he was praying to his Father. So I thought maybe I could let you unpack that a little bit about how we find peace, prayer, yeah, maybe what you know about that time through your studies.
One thing that comes to mind for me was that it was Jesus's rhythm to do that. So you sort of read in the book of Mark, Mark's quite a concise version of the story of Jesus's life on earth. And Jesus would be amongst, you know, all these people crowding in, wanting to hear what he said or wanting him to heal them. And early in the morning, oh, I don't know, maybe about 1:54 a.m.
Oh, right about your time,
right now in Ireland. he would withdraw. So he would just, you know, in the middle of the night, he'd be waking up and going out just to be by himself, just praying. And in the morning, his followers would come out, try and find him. What? Where are you? Everybody's asking for you. They all want you to come back and heal and want you to do this and want you to do that. And he's like, actually, now we need to go over to this place, because he'd been praying and been asking his Father, asking God, you know, what do you want me to be doing today? And so he was following his Father's leading. And so when the people came clamoring at him, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, actually he went, actually, this is what we're going to be doing today. So he had that rhythm even amongst the busyness of demands on him. He would withdraw. So talking about the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, the stressful times coming up, and he actually withdraws into pray with God, but he does that because that is his natural rhythm. He's already built that into his life.
That's really,
what was interesting for me in that Garden of Gethsemane is that he now wanted to pull in his disciples into the process as well.
Yeah.
And they were not in the rhythm of that. And he then said, could you just not have prayed with me an hour? So it's sometimes, you know, that other people aren't in your rhythm when you want to get into your silence and you call in their help. It takes time for that, because ultimately they got to it, but they didn't have it at the time, at the crucial time that he wanted it. But it was interesting, the silence that he had in the Garden of Gethsemane, yes, yet in himself there was a wrestling. And the wrestling was with a battle of your will. Your will is the one that is the biggest battle when you want to either go into solitude, go into relationship, go into anything, no noise, radio on, radio off. There's always a choice. Your will is your choice. And he had to, by his choice, submit his will finally through that process in the Garden of Gethsemane, say, right, okay, I now give my will to you, Heavenly Father, officially, so that if it even costs me my life, it's okay. Because my choices now are all going to be, that choice in itself is a tick box for everything that you say goes, even if it means me dying. So it's in our life to also switch out noise. We have to make choices, and we can try to rely on other people, but they're not necessarily on the same page. And then you might be disappointed in them, and then there's more noise in your head. So then it's like, then let's stop this noise, you know?
So how do we do that, Renee? How are we going to stop that? Because you're right, it does compact, doesn't it? The very thing we're trying to stop can create even more noise in the voices that we're trying to calm.
That's right. That's right. So even in that there's also a truth of who you choose to be around can either take you away from what is good or bring you to what is good closer. It will, you know, expedite or push it away. And I feel that in the process of getting the quiet, like the monks went to solitude. I mean, we traveled on a 12-seater boat to the island, and it was about a half an hour's ride by boat, motorized, to get to the island. In the days of the monks, there were no motorized boats. So they would have had to either swim across, which is very far, or they had to be rowed in a boat to get there, or maybe they put logs together and had a raft and they had to go. Wow. We don't know how they got across. So that in itself, you had the waves to contend with. And I saw that when we had to get back to the moor where we had to get off, the boat kept pulling away from the moor by the way the tide was pulling it. And then they used ropes and things to tie it to the moor, and had to pull for almost 5 minutes before we could get out. And even while we're getting out, the boat was being tugged. So now in the monks' days, there would have been that great effort just to get to that solitude. So for us, we have to make great effort to get to solitude. Like, for example, getting up 3 o'clock in the morning. That's a great effort. But it's the most beautiful time of silence, that window period between 3 and 6 in the morning. And you would find that if you did get up and seek the God the Father in that slot, it's in even in ancient Jewish times, the people would say that is the best time to get closer to God with least effort.
Why do you think that because is, Renee?
Because if you look at the example of Jacob that wrestled with the angel, God actually likes it when we wrestle with him. And that wrestling time was in the morning watch. It was between 3 and 6. because the angel still said to him, hey, he said to the, hey, the dawn is breaking, let me go. But so we know it was in that time. And in the wrestling time. So we sometimes have to wrestle with ourselves, with our choice, and then you wrestle with God with what you have to wrestle with. And God doesn't mind us wrestling with him.
He doesn't.
He actually calls it. He wants it. He loves it.
Yeah, yeah. I've wrestled with him many times, Renee. I've never
How many
won. many. How many? I can't count them.
There's half a sentence. How many times do you have people who are stressed out who wake at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and can't get back to sleep? Is that possibly a solution to actually, if you're wrestling and feeling stressed and waking up, to actually be praying about
it? And you just, I was just thinking when you said that, I, you know, and before when I said when I was younger and I was looking for that peace and quiet, and when I found what I considered to be peace, I found it really boring. You know, like, what do I do now? This is so boring. But the difference being now is in my faith, I'm not looking just in that peace in me. It's just not me individually looking at me. I'm bringing, you know, God into this place, and now I have somebody I can go to and experience what I can't experience myself, what I can't bring into my life. And I think that's the supernatural part of this, where we get that tangible feeling. We can spend, you know, a whole life trying to chasing peace and never find it because of the turmoil within. But that outside, you know, finding God, and then relationship with Jesus and Holy Spirit. You know, it's part of the journey. But finding God, that was, to me, a supernatural peace. I can't explain it. I just sense it. It's like a blanket that comes over. And there it is. Woo-woom. And I love it. Go, Renee. You've got. I know you've got something to say.
We're
You see. But now you're on about faith and getting the silence and needing God. And we've got the monks that are going to solitude. But there's an underlining factor that the whole world needs to see, that it is all based on love. If you don't know how to receive love, you can't have faith. Because it's that love then that drives you to have faith that when you look for God, he will find you.
Yes. Yeah.
So you have to find, you know, when you find it boring, it's meaning you trying to fill your life to be entertainment.
Absolutely.
Instead of finding that, instead of being filled up with love. If you're filled up with love, you don't need something else to take over your noise. You don't have to have noise if you've got love. So now,
I agree.
That's
good,
so
Renee.
So you're now going to,
you go, girl.
Sorry?
That's great stuff. It's good. You go, girl. I'm so agreeing with you, because I'm agreeing, coming alongside this, because I know that in the younger years, all I wanted to do was fill all my empty spaces up with partying, because I had trauma there and love was not there. There was a lot of pain and a lot of hurt. And so I couldn't receive love. And so I would totally come alongside that and agree, to be able to have faith, you must have love. You must have a sense of something that you have a warmth towards. Otherwise, the world's a cold place, and we get pretty negative and twisted in those places.
So could you say that another form of noise is having to perform to be loved?
Oh, absolutely. That's... How many people look around in our world? Great performers are always filling the spaces with performance, whether it be see me, notice me, hear me. You know, that lot of, have we look at many of our stars today, you know, the ones who are out there, you know, great movie stars or whatever they are, you know, they feel that sense of love when people see them. Sometimes we're taught ourselves that love comes from other people's acceptance, which isn't the truth, because we'll get a lot of disappointment in that.
Yeah. And even take the factor that the newer generation, you would find the children, even from a 2-year-old, 3-year-old age, are sitting with a mobile phone in their hand. And that is a convenient silencing factor to get no noise from the child.
Oh, it's scary stuff. You're hitting on something scary there, Renee. Oh, I don't know if we've got enough time for all of that, but I agree.
So what I'm saying is now it's always you know that your noise in you is when you start projecting it on something else. You think the child is the noise, but start with your noise or start with your own noise or get yourself close to God. And then you won't be boring yourself and you won't be bored. And then you would be able to find fulfillment in him.
Oh, Denise the got cool something. I love this. I feel like a teacher here. There's little hands going up. Like, I love it. Oh, your turn, Denise. Go.
No, it's great. But just thinking about that whole boring thing, like, so we're talking about a lifestyle of faith, a lifestyle of peace, a lifestyle of prayer. And the concept of, you know, when you're trying to tune out that noise, you go, oh, that's so boring. But it's really interesting. A lot of people think about, say, Christianity, and they think of it as a religion, and so they think of it as a set of rules. Now, remember what I said about they brought in these rectangle buildings and started to withdraw the monks from that place of solitude and try and get them into a space where they could, you know, influence them. And actually, there is a difference between living sort of, if you think of Christianity as a religion and living in rules, it sounds really boring. But what we talk about is that it's actually living in relationship. Mm. So you're living in relationship with God, your Father, living in relationship with Jesus. When you're living, in relationship with the Holy Spirit. So when you're living a life that's in relationship with God, then he leads you into the fullness of what he created you for. So, I mean, the people that I know that live a spirit-led, Holy Spirit-led life, their lives are far from boring. But the thing is, you can't often tell people what's really going on for you because
they're just true, like,
they will shut you down before you even open your mouth. And you actually, like for us, I mean, we're here talked, you know, about my mum and my sister, we're on this journey. And so here we are, this part of our journey, we are on this Celtic Christianity tour. But even here, we've got family stuff going on. So, for example, we went to Skellig Michael, and what we discovered before we got there, it says on Wikipedia, actually, is where we got some of the dates and things. But actually, Skellig Michael, that island, was given to our ancestors in the year 1578 by Queen Elizabeth. So this was after that. So you talked about martyrs. So some of those monks got attacked for the monastery treasures and things. So when they did the beautiful parchment and wrote out amazing things, you know, they got raided, and some of them did lose their lives. And then the ones that were remaining got pulled off to these other monasteries on the mainland. But so the island was empty now of monks. And so the first Queen Elizabeth actually gifted that island to our family. And then in the 1820s, they had to sell it in a compulsory purchase order. So they were gifted the land, but then they were also forced to give it up. And so when I was there today, I was like, okay, so for somebody who's part of my generations, how can I bring God back? And kind of, you know, we were talking today about, well, I was talking with my family, with my sister and my mother about, you know, God's outside of time. So the monastery, the monks that were there who were really intentionally communicating with God, you know, what did we lose as our family by not stewarding that over this period? Like, you know, what have we allowed to become dormant? So here I am on an island on the other side of the world thinking, how do I prayerfully redeem would be a word, like we talk about redeeming a voucher. So how can I bring value back and sort of say sorry for the things that our family lines have done and actually release what God is wanting to do in that place and maybe to bring good things for all the people who come to visit. There's lots of people come to visit. Maybe they want to have prayer times and have God encounters like maybe some of the monks had. And so so I actually went up, and I was prayerful when I was up there, and I was actually praying about that. And so like that was incredibly exciting. Incredibly, I try not to use the word incredible. It was really exciting. That was not boring at all, but, you know, to someone seeing me sitting there quietly might go, yeah, what are you doing? But I was like, yeah, you know, I'm engaging with the generations that have been engaging with this island and going, God, what are you doing here? What do you want to do here? And was praying about that stuff. Like, that is really exciting when you realise you're impacting generations past and cleaning up some stuff that's already happened. I was saying sorry for some things that we've done, and I was asking God to kind of release whatever the new thing, anything that our family had bound up, I was asking that he would actually release it into this new season. So that's really, it's not a boring lifestyle when you're kind of living a supernatural spirit-led lifestyle, but people would look at you and go, oh, but you're so boring. It's like, my life is awesome.
Well, this is it, eh? It's whether we live in the two-dimensional, three-dimensional, or further on, you know. It's what world are we living in? We can be our human self and think that that's all there is what I do day to day, or we can go outside of ourselves and find a spirituality and a comfort and a peace that's it's supernatural. It's not the natural way that we find in life.
And it's outside of time. Like, you're not stuck by stuff that's happened in the past. You can actually, you know, you can forgive somebody, or you can repent for, or turn away from the things that you yourself have done or your family line have done. And you can actually allow healing to occur, and you can step into wholeness, and you can step into fullness. Just because something happened doesn't mean it has to impact you forever. Sure, you might have the memory, or the consequences might play out, but you can actually turn that and allow that to become part of your story that then you can share and help others grow. But even like with you, you're saying, you know, you've had a big past, like a traumatic past, and hard stuff go on, and here you are X number of years later.
X number. We're not putting a number on that, Denise. I don't want to guess the number. You're not guessing the number.
And here you are, like, being able to help people. You've been doing it for years anyway, but now you're doing it in another capacity on air, and like, that's powerful. You've got the story. When people say, but I've gone through this, you're like, actually, I've lived that, and there's still hope.
Absolutely.
Like, how awesome is that?
Yeah, absolute hope. I mean, that's 100% for me, you know. Because when you've come, I think when you've come from chaos, or chaotic living, chaotic internal chaos, you know, whenever people ask for me for an expression of God, or what I, you know, what am I feeling, it's always peace. I always go to peace. That's all I can ever put on it. My heart might be full, it's kind of, but it's the peace that is that I find is the most tangible go-to thing that I can find in my faith, is when I'm in chaos, when I'm hurt, or when I'm upset, or when I can't think properly, when I connect with the spiritual part of me, with God, with that spirit, there's something in me that just, everything calms down. It's like frazzled nerves, you know, frazzled ends, just go, ooh, and there's just this lovely, just loveliness there. And I think it's in that loveliness I'm reminded that I'm loved. I'm reminded that I'm a human being and that I'm cared for, and this, I have a life, and it's valuable. You know, and no matter where we might be in life, and it might look quite ugly at the time, but it's still so valuable, incredibly valuable. And so special. And everything that we experience and go through you know, even the good, the bad, the ugly, they're precious. It's we're alive and we're living, and we get to make choices in what we're living in. You know, if we don't have peace, we can't find how to make those choices, because we'll make them out of chaos, and so they're chaotic choices. But when peace comes, oh my goodness, it's like I want to see the bigger picture. I'm okay with looking at the bigger picture when there's peace in there, because I know that I'm going to get through whatever it is, and it's actually okay. I don't mind the rocky road, so to speak. It's fine. Mm. I quite enjoy it, actually, because I know I'm not alone on that. So we're going to head into a
and
song.
You...
There we go. No, what, we're not. Okay, go.
But you enjoy the rocky road, perhaps because you're used to a life that's not boring.
Amen to that.
When you've had an exciting life that's full of stuff and you're used to quite high capacity for being able to cope with stuff.
Yeah.
There may well be a plan and a purpose for you that is just like really impactful and at a level that other people couldn't cope with. They might not be able to, they don't have the capacity to deal with multiple things going on. And so like, you know, we talk about the mono going into the mono and going into the solitude, but it's to give you that peace and give you the strength and give you the healing and give you the hope so that you can then go back into that stereo and be coming together with others and to be helping others and, yeah, impacting. It's
fills us up. When I'm listening to you, I get, I do. I feel filled up, and yet it's not anything I can see or, you know, I can't go out and buy it. I can't get it from somebody else. Nobody else can give it to me. This is supernatural and it's free and it's incredible. So we are going to go into song and we will be back.
Troubled waters and rising tides, anxious hands and a worried mind, angry river wants to take me down. It's gonna watch me cross on dry ground. I'll step off the bank and hold on tight. See the promised land on the other side. Ain't gonna be easy, but I won't stop now. I'ma just keep walking on dry ground. I know I ain't seen nothing.
You've been listening to Maria on Faith Matters, and I've had Denise and Renee in the studio on Skype all the way from Ireland. And we've been talking about peace, internal peace, connection to God, Holy Spirit, Jesus, finding peace, how difficult that is in the world that we live in. And we're just about at the end of the show, so I am going to bring these two beautiful ladies back on, and I've just asked them to perhaps give us a parting thought on peace, or anything they actually want to. You can tell, you can give us a parting thought on whatever you want to. Here we go. Over to yous. Oh, no, no, I've pressed the wrong thing. Again, there we go. On air, there we are. Now I've got you. You're there, Renee. No, she's not.
My parting thought is, for whether you are young or old, if you do not know love in the true sense for yourself, and that you can't give it to others, then you cannot find peace. You need love to find peace. And you will not find love outside of that one who is love. God is love. He can't do love. He is love. So when we find God and we climb into God, as to say, like a onesie put on God, and then that would help us to then focus on him. And then when we focus on him, he then says he will guard your peace. Mm. So if we can get into love, peace will come much smootherly, if I can use that as a word.
Yeah, you can use whatever word you want. I love the onesie. Let's just all go home and put our onesies on. We'd do a lot better, wouldn't we? Hey, zip it up, baby. Zip up that onesie, baby. We're good. Find some peace. I want one of those onesies that goes right over the head. I just want to be covered in it. I love that visual. I think that's a great visual. And for many, you know, maybe who don't know about God and don't even know how to connect, thinking about putting on a onesie and finding your peace in prayer, you know, find connection. And how do you know when you find it? Well, it's pretty tangible. You'll know. That's all I can say about that one. So what about you, Denise? What would you like to leave us with?
I think it's just, if there's no limitations on this stuff. Like if you've kind of got stories that are going over in your head, or things that are impacting you, things that have happened, even if it's generational stuff, that things that happened long ago and it still comes down the line and impacts you, that's not the end. There's no time limit to actually being able to be healed of those things and free of those things.
And I agree.
Yeah. So I think, you know, we do still think, oh, well, that happened, and so now I'm stuck here. But we're not stuck. There's hope. And something Renee just said off air is that there is faith, hope, and love. Those three things remain. And so when we're acting in love, we can receive that hope of a future. And as we step into faith and engaging with God and having relationship with God, he can lead us into a life that is way beyond what we sort of ever thought maybe for ourselves, because he knows what he created us for, and he's got a plan and a purpose. And it might be something quite surprising from where we're at now, but just actually going, okay, wow, could I work with this stuff, deal with this stuff, and actually step into a relationship with God, it can impact your whole trajectory of your life from that point on.
Absolutely. And I mean, many of us are testimonies to that. It does make a difference, makes a huge difference. There's something I wanted to ask about the island, Denise. You said it was your family connection, your family island. Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you, well, can I come over there? Can I come and stay and make my own little home? No, I wasn't going to say that. I was going to say, do you think you'll turn the island back into like a prayerful place? Like, can it be a place of where people come to pray and find peace? That's a big question.
Well, It's been a couple of centuries since we have owned the island, so it was for a period of about 250 years that we owned it. And so that because we sort of had that ownership, I feel like I can pray over the island because I'm not just some random, you know, my family line was connected to it. But what I was praying today was that, you know, if there are sort of assignments that God had given to some of those monks or even appointed, you know, angelic, you know, people talk about angels, but God does talk about, you know, giving angels as ministering spirits that help his people achieve their purpose. So if there are angels that have kind of just been hanging out at the island, I don't know how it works. So, yeah, just praying that God would give them new assignments, release them to be doing his plans and purposes around the world. Like, I don't know what that means. So I'm making this little prayer of, you know, anything that's lying dormant here, God, that you're wanting to use for your, you know, actually share your love with people or impact people's lives for good. Like, would you take that dormant stuff and would you release it into whatever is right for this new season? So that's the sort of prayer that I was praying, and I really have no idea of the ramifications of that.
Well, I'm going to tell you the ramifications of that. Faith is small as a mustard seed, girl. That's all it takes. And I will be putting that one up on our post when we go up on social media. Faith is small as a mustard seed. We don't need a lot to create a lot.
Yeah.
If we plant a mustard seed, there's a whole field that can come from that one plant, that one seed. Mm. It's an incredible thing. Faith is incredible. Mustard seeds are incredible. You're incredible. Well, I've loved sharing time with you both. Thank you for tuning in and being a part of Faith Matters. Renee, it's lovely to have you from South Africa. You do look Irish, though, and I can't help it. You really do look Irish. So you'd probably, if you didn't say anything, you'd probably pass quite easily. I hope you both get out there and click your heels up, get Mum involved in that. I'm sure she'll be totally loving it. Hey? Yeah, I want to see a picture of your mum clicking your heels. I mean, she's a bit old, but hey, you just take a picture of putting her heels together. It's a real Irish thing to do. Look for those four-leaf clovers. I'm sure they're there somewhere. Hey, and those little leprechauns jumping out. That's a great place to be.
Haven't seen any of those yet,
haven't
actually.
Seen any of those little green men running around with rainbows and pots of gold. Hey, I'll tell you something, Denise. The rainbow the other day, I think it was about 2 weeks ago. It was right on top of your house. There you go. There's a pot of gold right there for you. And it sat there for ages. I went to take a photograph of it and I thought, she'll think I'm stalking her or something, taking photos of the rainbows over her house. Bloody, that's a bit weird.
Actually, I'll tell you something that happened. So talking about, you know, just sort of family stuff and praying into stuff. There was a couple of weeks ago and I was looking for a particular spot and I was driving along. I had no idea where it would be. And I came over this hill and there was this rainbow. And you know how normally when you get closer to rainbows, they move? Well, this rainbow just didn't move. So I was kind of like, oh, I'm not an islander. Am I going to find a pot of gold in the rainbow? So I turned off at the next available driveway and it just so happens that this driveway was the exact driveway off the castle I was looking for with an ancient bridge right there. And I'd been blinded by this rainbow. I couldn't see what was there at all. But it was, again, some would say that was coincidence, but I would say actually that was God going, hey, here, stop here.
That's
this
amazing.
Is a significant place.
Well, there you go. So, from Ireland to Whangarei Raglan, that rainbow's everywhere.
That's awesome.
Well, I'm gonna head out now, girls. I'm gonna head out with a song. Now, this song, I had a text from my beautiful auntie this morning. I think she's either, auntie, I'm gonna get this wrong, Auntie Bonnie. You're either 92, 94, or 96. I don't know what age she is, but she's getting up there, and she's a beautiful, beautiful Christian woman. Hold her very much in my heart. And she found a song on, She's still on Facebook. She still finds her way around. She often gets nailed by other people because she's probably in areas she shouldn't be in. But she found this song that she really liked, and she went to share it on Facebook, and she put up a text this morning saying that Facebook had taken the song down and she didn't know why. And so I found the song for her, and I'm going to play it in a minute. But Facebook hadn't taken it down. She'd actually pushed delete. She is in her 90s, so bless her heart. But this one's for my auntie, and many blessings to her. She's a great woman, and we're going to head out with this one. So, but if you're on a faith journey, before I go, and you're like me and Denise, although Denise won't be there this Sunday, and you'd like to hear about God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, you're welcome to join us at 10 a.m. Raglan Area School, Sunday, great worship. We've got Pastor Roger bringing more on the series on the Book of Romans, and he's been talking about fruitfulness. So if you want to know how to grow in your life and expand further than you've ever been, I'm sure Sunday is the place to be to find out more information about that, be encouraged, and be with others in our community, do life together. It's a great thing to do. Whangarei is a great place for that. So we're going to head out on Dry Ground by Peter Barton, and this is for you, Auntie.
Troubled waters and rising tides, anxious hands and a worried mind. Angry river wants to take me down. It's gonna watch me cross on dry ground. I'll step off the bank and hold on tight. See the promised land on the other side. Ain't gonna be easy, but I won't stop now. I'ma just keep walking on dry ground. Breath of heaven's living.